Before we open God's word, let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, who art in heaven, we come before thee in thy precious word with faith, believing that thou art in heaven above, anticipating and gladly an expectation, Lord, to provide all that we are needing for this life of thou hast called us to. We are grateful for thy mercy, and we tremble before thy word. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou art able to provide, and ask that all thoughts of ourself would be released and we would turn our back, but turn our faces heavenwards. Look up to thee with eyes of faith, trusting and believing that thou dost have the true bread of life to impart unto us in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we be seeking him, the one in whom all fullness dwells, the one in whom we find salvation and hope. For there is no other who we can turn to who is able to provide as thou. And as Jesus Christ has provided a feast for us to partake of, help us to have open eyes and willing hearts to sit and partake and find rest for our souls. Bless thy word in this day, and may we, with yielded wills and yielded spirits, dedicate and devote ourselves and our time, all that we are, unto thee in this day. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, the word of the Lord is open to Romans chapter 5.
Bratje naše, da se čita iz poslanica apostola Pavla Rimljanima 5. glava. Rimljanima 5. glava.
Romans chapter 5, I desire to read the entire chapter with the Lord's help and with your prayers. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans. Beloved, the word that we have read together speaks of the greatness of the gifts of God through Jesus Christ, speaks of an abundance of blessings and inheritance that God has made available to us. And as that line in the song that we sang spoke of God gladly being willing and ready to provide all that we are needing, God is speaking to me and teaching me. Speak of Christ. Speak of what he has done. That is the abundance of the gifts. That is what God has set on the table before us as he opens up the spread and the banquet for us to partake, and gladly invites and welcomes each and every one of us in our heart to partake of him, to see what he has done for us, to experience and to take it into ourselves, this precious gift. And Apostle Paul speaks much in these first 11 verses, explaining and teaching and opening the eyes of those who would be reading. What is that gift of God? What are the unsearchable riches that are found in Christ Jesus? And in the last half of the chapter, from verse 12 and on, he seems to be making a comparison and addressing perhaps some questions that someone might have. How is it that one man's deeds and sacrifice could affect so many others? For the Jews, that would be something very odd and strange, because every individual would have to make account for his own sins and life. And so Apostle Paul explains, and by reason of example, we see Adam and his sin and the effects that it had on all mankind, that everyone dies. And there's no controversy in that. The Jews would have believed this, and they would have seen the effect. And Paul is saying, you see this example, how one man, by one man's sin, sin entered in the world and death by sin. And you accept and believe that. And there's no hesitation for you to say that that's true. Now comes the challenge of faith. Is there any hesitation in my heart and in my mind, in my soul, to believe that what Jesus Christ has done and provided is able to reach even to me and to you and to your soul and your soul's great need? And if the action of man could have such a strong effect on the history of the world and the consequences for all humanity, how much more the actions of God and what he has done? There's an inheritance that Adam passed down of death to all mankind. Even before the law came, he explains, that all the people who lived, even though they didn't sin maybe in taking of the fruit, but he passed down that inheritance of death. If Jesus would provide us inheritance by God's gift, would he not provide something much greater? Something that abounds far stronger, more multifaceted, that we would be well provided for in the inheritance in Jesus Christ? Do you think God can do a better job to influence mankind? Absolutely. And may we have that high regard for the gift of God in Christ Jesus, that we would consider his gifts as true riches, that we would seek after them, one and all, those who are in the faith and those who are dying in Adam and are at war with God. There are conditions of peace that are offered. And there is new life that is available in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is available through faith. To be declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ is the beginning of a journey and a multifaceted learning of God's goodness towards us and all that he provides. It is the beginning, and it is the continuation, and it continues until our eyes would close in death in the Lord Jesus, that we would be ushered into life and that faith would be removed and we would see that which we have hoped for, that which we have longed for. So faith is the beginning and it is the road. And by faith in Jesus Christ and in his shed blood, we can have peace with God. And we are made right with God. And we should strive for peace with God continually. The Word of God says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so unity with Jesus Christ cannot leave room for friendship with the world. Friendship with the world and the things of the world, being the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the weapons with which man lifts up against God, desires to destroy him, and to put away the still small voice. and substitute those things to calm the conscience, to provide some level of happiness, but always temporary. We don't always view it with as serious terms as being at war with God. But either we are at peace with God or we are fighting against Him. And we're all called to be at peace. And we're all taught that that peace comes through Jesus Christ, who had nothing of the world in Him, but only the love for His Father, only the desire to do His Father's will. And He is showing us the way. He says, follow Me. Follow Me. This is the way to peace with God. There are many men. There is Adam, and there are many men who desire for us to follow them, for us to pay attention to what they're doing. But there's one man, this scripture teaches us. There's only one who is worth following, who will be able to provide for our soul's great need, and that is Jesus Christ. There is none other, and we can go to no other source of forgiveness, source of peace. But in Jesus Christ and His teachings, because they teach us the how. They teach us the how and what it means to turn back or turn our backs from this world. So let us pay attention. Let us heed the shepherd's voice as He calls us, each individually, with our own various challenges and temptations and struggles that we face. Let us commit our ways unto Him. Let's not deny Him. Let's pursue Him and follow after Him. Let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a surrendered will, a will that is broken. And a willing heart. Can we enter into that door? What lies beyond? What will you find after that first course of this banquet that God has provided? But an access into His grace. An access into the strength. An access into that which teaches us to deny ungodliness. An access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Come ye who here have any need. You remember that song? Do you think about your needs? Do they seem so pressing to you? Do not let the distractions and the thoughts of other things entering into your heart rob you of the vision to see two things. To see your great need. And to see His great grace. Come ye who here have any need, Jesus can supply them all, indeed. And this by faith we accept and embrace and mold our life around. That Jesus Christ is the source of our life. Just as a branch needs the vine and needs to be connected to it in a vital way, in a living and tangible and practical and spiritual, emotionally, mentally, and physically, for our needs in every single way. He is the one that we draw our life from. We even prayed about the fact that God has provided us the restful sleep, maybe for some of us not so restful, but has provided us what we needed so that we could be here today and that we can draw. And he opens the door, as it were, to the treasury of his precious gifts. And that which we have struggled with, which we have perhaps tried on our own to overcome, God says, I am showing you the key each and every time you open the Word. I am revealing my Son, Jesus Christ. I'm showing you the way. And through his teachings, I'm giving you the warnings so that you wouldn't perish. And God loves us so much and cares for our needs so much that he opens the door. My friend, have you? Have you opened the door? Have you opened the door in faith to God to let him enter in so that you can have access into this grace without which we are without any hope? But in faith, we have the confidence and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have a hope that as Jesus Christ has raised from the dead and has come out of that tomb, that when we die, which is just a fact of life that we accept, but we often forget and leave for some future time, but we need to prepare for. That we by God's goodness and grace would be granted an entrance into his kingdom and be given a new body in the resurrection of the dead and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is our hope and our longing. This is our confidence that Jesus Christ has provided this way. And we have seen God make many promises, and he has fulfilled in the past, and he will fulfill. He will stand by his word. And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The precious gifts of peace and righteousness and access into grace and hope in the glory of God. But then Paul says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. You know, sometimes we think that faith is something that we do and we start, and then there's nothing involved until all the way at the end of our life, and then eternal life begins. But no, it's not like that. In the beginning of faith, it's a beginning of a journey that's continuing throughout our life. And God provides us hope for eternal life when this life is over. Yes, that's true. But also in this life that we are living here below, in this sin-darkened world that is full of death and sin and full of tribulation to all that would seek righteousness, we glory in tribulation. We're rejoicing for the life that God has given us to live, and that God has given us life and given us an opportunity to bear witness of his name and of his goodness, even as we were challenged last week to speak the name of Jesus Christ to someone. I hope to hear some testimonies and to share some testimonies of how we did that, because this is our job. This is our mission. We are to be occupying in this veil of tears. We're to be glorying in the tribulation that we are in right now because of the great hope that we have for a future and eternity. We glory in tribulations also. Paul was content and understood that there was a great benefit that others could receive by him staying with them. He desired to be with the Lord and to be apart from this body, but he realized that being present with the believers was very needful and helpful, and if it pleased God to do that, he was willing. And so, may we take a moment and consider, do I really embrace each day that God has given me? And as the words come out of my mouth, they speak to myself first. Do I understand and embrace the tribulation of this life as an opportunity to bear witness to the overcoming power of Jesus Christ in his resurrection, and to show others that there is tribulation, there is hardship, there is sin and disappointment and death in this life. But in Jesus Christ, we find true life. We find overcoming power. We find the help that we need. The tendency and the temptation that this world offers us is to escape this life and escape its tribulation through sin, through pleasing ourselves. Have you been distracted? Have I been distracted by things that draw us to the earth? That's the pull of the world. Let us glory in tribulations. Let us redeem the life and the days that we've been given. There's a purpose for it, and God is using it to mold and to shape us into an image that would glorify him. And if we just check out of life and just put a screen in front of our face or put a hobby in front of us without the intent to use that for God's glory, we can miss out a lot on life. We can miss opportunities that God is hoping for us to take. We can become ill-prepared for future service that God is desiring us to grow into, because this tribulation, as we commit it unto the Lord, is working patience in us. And these are gifts of God that are not readily seen at the outset, but through experience, through trust, and through taking God's word at its face value and embracing it, he opens the next door and the next. Through patience, experience. And experience brings hope. You probably have some experiences of God's faithfulness, how he helped you through temptation, how he helped you overcome grief and sorrow. You know that you rub shoulders and rub elbows with people who are struggling. You rub elbows with people who are lost. You rub elbows with people who are dying. And your experience of God's grace, God can use that to bring hope and to turn someone around. And maybe you can think back like I do on believers that impacted our lives as they faithfully trusted themselves and committed their ways to the Lord and made themselves available to help and to encourage. We can testify that we wouldn't be the same without them. We would not be the same without them. And they were needed. And that's true for everyone in God's family. that we need each other, and that you are needed, and that God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And one of the beautiful things that as we're exercised with life and its challenges, and as Jesus teaches us to trust in him more and to have faith in him through that, that we realize that as we go through that season, that at the end we gain a sense of the love of God that's even more deep and profound than it was before we went through that. We realize that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And then we're encouraged and motivated to go on through the next season. And God is providing like a huge banquet, course after course. And he's showing us how in this season, Jesus supplies for our needs. And in the next season, Jesus is supplying for our needs. And we are going from the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And it is my hope and prayer that we would all grow in that way. We remember. We remember the truth. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The mercy of God is expressed in Jesus Christ and his cross, where he took the place of sinful man and died for his enemies so that his enemies could be brought to his Father. When we were yet without strength, may we remember always. We do not have our own strength. The strength that we have is only that which God is providing to us. And we are in constant remembrance that Christ died for us while we were sinners. There was no worthiness on our part that brought him down. There was no goodness of our own that rose him from the dead. But he has accomplished all. He has provided in its fullness for us. Adam did a very impactful deed. And that is the work of man. And that is the end of all those who would claim that inheritance. But God's work is one of forgiving our sins through Jesus Christ and leading us through the journey of faith and life and eternal life, showing and revealing and making it more apparent the glory of his kindness to us and deepening our life and our love in Jesus Christ. He says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And let us not just stop there and think of, okay, I'm reconciled and that's all that there is to it. Because if it was just an even trade between Adam and Christ, it would be okay. But Adam brought the fall. But Jesus Christ brings justification. He enhances it with peace with God. He brings us access into the grace of God and to an adoption into a family. And now he desires to save us by his life. He is desiring for us who are redeemed to partake of the power which God wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead, that we would be saved from the world. The world has its pull, but the gifts of God and the strength of God, when we put our faith in him, is much greater. May we take that confidence. May we have a high regard for all of God's gifts. And may we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are his by faith. And may those who are yet in Adam, sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, who are living out that inheritance, know that the word of God is shared for you, and that Jesus Christ died for unworthy sinners, and his blood can make you whole. Begin on that journey in faith and trust in him. Follow him every day. This is what he desires for us and longs for us to see the beauty in. And may all the praise and thanks be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.